God's life in you, Christ in you. What is your relationship to Christ and what it does for you to be related to Him? All right, we're going to begin tonight by looking at God's old creation, and we're going to turn to the book of Genesis this evening. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2:7 is one of the most important verses in all of God's Word in understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in human life. Now, while you're turning to Genesis 2:7, let me say that the Bible teaches that there are three kinds of people in the world, three classes of man: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. There are three classes of people. There may be three classes of people in this room tonight. I don't know. But there is the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. I pray that you belong to the last category, spiritual man. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, there was only one class of man. Which category did Adam fall in? He was spiritual man. God did not intend in His perfect will that there ever should have been a natural man. Now, natural man is man in his lost condition, man without God, man without the Holy Spirit. This is man who is an alien, a stranger from the promises of God. So the natural man is man without the Holy Spirit. The carnal man is man who has the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have him. He possesses the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't possess him. The carnal man is a defeated Christian. The carnal man is a defeated Christian. He's saved, but as by fire. His salvation is in heaven, but he's having a hell of a time getting to heaven. He's got heaven as his home, but got hell in his heart. His life is defeated, and he's finding it very difficult to get to heaven. It's the defeated Christian, the carnal man. And then there's the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the person who has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has him. He not only possesses the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit possesses him. He not only has Christ, but Christ has him. You see? The spiritual man is the man whose life is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit-filled Christian. The Spirit-filled Christian. Now, originally, when God created man in the Garden of Eden, He only created one class of men, the spiritual man, Adam. So what we want to do tonight is to turn in God's Word to Genesis 2:7, and we're going to look at this fellow Adam, and we're going to see what God did when He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living spirit." Now, we're going to look at Genesis 2:7 in three stages. And the Lord God formed man. So Roman number one, what is man? What is a man? When the Bible says God formed man of the dust of the earth, what is man? What is man? Then secondly, what is the breath of life? God put the breath of life in Adam. And the Bible says that man became a living what? Soul. Now, you may have different translations here. The King James says he became a living soul. Anybody have a different translation? What does the New American Standard say? A living being. Anybody have a different translation? Yes, ma'am? Living person. All right, they're both getting at the idea. Now, there's one, I'm going to translate it a living spirit, and I'll show you why. He became a living spirit or a living being. We'll call it spirit, and I will show you why I do that in a moment. The idea is being of personality. Okay, so we're going to begin. What is man? Now, if you go to a biology class or an anthropology class or a sociology class, we have a generic name for this creature that you are. We are called Homo what? Sapiens. Now, that's a generic description, a biological description of what man is as an animal on this earth. Homo sapiens. Now, when the Bible uses the word man, It's not using the word in this typical sense, but in a theological sense. Now, God gave this creature a name, and the name that God called His first creature, called man, is the word, what is it? Adam. Now, you know that the Hebrew word Adam means what? Man. That's what it means. But when God called this creature Adam, it was not a physical description of what he is. It's a spiritual description of what he is. What does the word Adam mean? Well, I'm going to give you my definition of what I think God meant by the word Adam, mankind. As God looks at the word, this creature Adam is, and you ought to write this definition down because I think this is so important. What is man? Definition. As God created Adam originally, man is a creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. Man is a creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. And what we'll try to do this evening, see if I can prove that. Does controlling have one or two L's? One, doesn't it? Thank you, all you college students. And controlling fellowship. I didn't think that looked quite as good. Controlling fellowship. Okay. When the Lord God formed Adam of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he created a creature in whom the life of God would dwell in controlling fellowship. Now, people, every word in that sentence is important. Now, are you a man in the spiritual sense of the word? Are you the creature God created you to be? Now, there are many of you sitting here tonight that the life of God dwells in you. Isn't that correct? You're saved. The Holy Spirit, the life of God dwells in you. But let me ask you this. Is the life of God controlling you? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are you motivated each day by the Holy Spirit? Because if you're not a Spirit-filled child of God, if you're not a Spirit-filled creature, controlled by the Holy Spirit, motivated by the Holy Spirit, you're less than Adam. You're less than what God created you to be. And if that is the case, you are not a spiritual man. Carnal you may be. Saved you may be. But you're not a spiritual man. Now when God created Adam, he created him to be indwelt with the life of God in controlling fellowship. That's what the Bible means by man. It means a creature that God had fellowship with. Adam was in fellowship with God, and God was in a controlling relationship. God was Lord, Adam was Son. God was Father, Adam was Son. And he had that kind of a Father-Son controlling fellowship with God. All right, now notice this. When God created man, he made Adam something that he had never made any other creature. Adam was special. Now, what was special about Adam? Why did God give him a new name? All right. In order for the life of God to dwell in Adam, Adam had to be a vessel fit to contain the life of God. Now, the Bible tells us at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is a very key verse. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, has a prayer for the Thessalonican Christian. And here's what he said. I pray God that God will sanctify you completely. Completely. And then he says, body, soul, and spirit. Notice. I pray God to sanctify you completely. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated soul in the King James is a little word nephesh, N-E-P-H, nephesh, I-S-H, nephesh. It means wind, breath, soul, or spirit. Now, you need the New Testament to interpret the Old Testament, don't you? The word nephesh sometimes is applied to animals. But animals have a soul, you see. So what we need to understand is that God created man a trilogy of beings, body, soul, and spirit. And really, the word nephesh would be translated by the Greek word pneuma, which means spirit. So really what Adam became was a living personality, a living being. He came alive in his spirit. It's not the word soul. That's not the way it ought to be translated. That's why your New American Standard says a living being, trying to reveal the image of God, you see. Okay, now let me show you something. Adam was created with body, soul, and spirit. Now, people, he was the first creature that God ever created that had the human spirit. Now, all of the animals in the animal kingdom have a body and a soul. Did you know that your pet dog, your pet cat, your pet canary has a soul? That doesn't mean that soul is eternal. What is the soul, okay? We know what the body is, don't we? I think we do. I see you fellows looking at bodies from time to time. Your body is your physical life. The body is your physical life. Adam had a physical human body. He is Homo sapiens. You see? All right, now. But now, what is this thing called the soul? When the Bible speaks of the soul, it means three things. Intelligence, emotion, and will. Intellect, emotions, and will. Now, Adam's soul is not what made him special. All of the animal kingdom has intelligence, isn't that right? All of the animal kingdom has emotions, and all of the animal kingdom has a will. You see, with your intelligence, and your intelligence is your brain, that's that gray matter. Now, man's gray matter just happens to be a little bigger, more highly developed than a chimpanzee. But a chimpanzee has a brain, doesn't he? He can think. See? That's his thinking life. Adam had a thinking life. All right? Our emotions, that's our feeling life. We can feel joy, fear, anxiety. We can feel many things. Our emotions, I mean our will, is our choosing life. This is what we choose with, our choosing life. Now, your dog has a will. He can choose to obey you or disobey you. Isn't that right? An animal has a will, has emotions, and has intelligence. But now notice this. Man also has a third dimension, the human spirit. And the human spirit is what the Bible calls the image, what? Of God. In fact, in Genesis 1:27, it says, and God created man in his own image. Now, in Genesis 2:7, we're told what that image is. It's the spirit. And man became a living being, a living spirit. So the human spirit is what the Bible calls the image of God. Now, what is the spirit? What is your human spirit that God created? Okay? Let me find some writing room. Have you got this definition of man? On the board, a creature in whom God dwells in controlling fellowship? Okay, so what is this human spirit? What is this human spirit? Well, I'm not going to try to enlarge upon this tonight because it could take a lot of time here. But let me just briefly tell you what the image of God is. Very briefly, the human spirit. So here is the human spirit. Now, I want you to notice something. God put the breath of life in Adam's spirit, and the moment life came into Adam's spirit, he became what? Living. That implies that before God put the breath of life in Adam's spirit, what kind of a spirit did he have? A dead spirit, right? He was dead in his spirit before God put the spiritual life in him. Okay? So I want to show that, how that works out. What is the human spirit, or the image of God? It's at least three or four things. One, capacity for morality. The image of God, or the human spirit, is capacity for morality. Now, I said I don't want to enlarge upon this, and if you want to talk to me in private about this, we can. Human beings have an inborn sense of oughtness. Anywhere you find man, you find that man worries about ethics. He worries about right and wrong behavior. Now, his ethics may vary from society to society. What may be right in one society may be considered wrong in another. But what you look at is not the variableness of his ethic, but the fact that he has an ethic at all. The animal kingdom doesn't worry about ethics, do they? They don't worry about right and wrong. But man is the only creature who really gets bugged by ethical behavior. Man worries about, he feels like he ought to behave in a certain way. He doesn't know what it is, but he feels like he ought to behave a certain way. Now, I have never heard a satisfactory explanation of this from sociologists or psychiatrists. The behaviorists have tried to tell us that our environment caused it, you know, you think the way you do because your mother and daddy kicked you in the rump when you were a baby, and they try to explain it away. But that's not the question. The question is, why do we worry about it at all? Where did it come from? Well, you were made that way. That's part of the image of God. Man knows he ought to do right. And he may get very confused about what right is, but he knows he ought to do right. Okay? Secondly, is a capacity for love. Man knows he ought to love and not to hate. Did you know we have never found a culture of man on the face of the earth, no matter how primitive, where hate was a virtue and sin was and love was a vice? Anywhere you look, man knows it's right to love and wrong to hate. I had a fellow say to me, well, Barry, what about the headhunters? Well, they hunt the head of the other tribe. They don't hunt the heads of their own tribe. It's wrong to kill your own people. It's right to kill the enemy. You're to love your own and hate your enemy. But see, love is the virtue. Now, it may get all twisted. It may get all bent out of shape. But every one of us know we ought to love one another. The lost man in the jungle knows he ought to love. Where did he learn that? He didn't learn it from nature. Because the law of the jungle is what? Survival of the fittest. Dog eat dog. The animal kingdom is very savage. Man didn't just look at nature and say, oh, I ought to love. Because if he watched nature, he'd still be a savage. Because nature is very ruthless, isn't it? Okay? Where did he give it? He was created that way. Capacity to love. The human spirit. God gave him that. It's instinctive to man's person. This is what makes him more than an animal. This is what makes you different. You have a capacity to love. Thirdly, capacity to reason. Capacity to reason. Now, I'm going to write something in here for you. Now, we're not to think that the capacity to reason is the same as the capacity to think. Intelligence and reason are not the same thing. By intelligence, we're talking about my brain and how, if you don't like the word, or like it, evolved my brain is. But man has a mind. In fact, the whole schools of psychology are built upon the fact that man has a mind that tells his brain what to think. Isn't that right? Your mind tells your brain what to think. They don't even know what the mind is. Sigmund Freud gave his life trying to tell me what this is. Talk about the id and the ego and the superego, and he missed it 5 miles. And it took us 100 and something years to find out that Sigmund Freud didn't know half of what he's talking about. There's a whole new study today called parapsychology, which is trying to indicate there may be a spiritual dimension to man that the Bible told us was there thousands of years ago. You see. So, by reason, man worries about truth. He thinks about truth. He thinks about philosophy. Who am I? Why am I here? He looks at himself and he reasons about his own existence. Man is the only creature that can get out of his own head and look back upon his behavior and question it. He looks in the mirror and says, what are you? Who are you? What is right? What is truth? He thinks about these things. Where did he get it? God gave it to him. This is how man can communicate with God and know the truth of God, fellowship with God. And this is a spiritual dimension. This is not just a biological, intellectual dimension. Man, the fact that he even creates philosophy is a part of this capacity. Now, what I want to say to you at this point is extremely important. Do you see the key word in here? Capacity. Did you wonder why I said capacity? All right. A moment ago we said that before God put the breath of life inside Adam's spirit, he was a dead spirit. The moment the breath of life came in, he became a living spirit. Now the point is this. Before God put the breath of life inside Adam, all his human spirit and his image of God had was the capacity for morality, the capacity to know right and wrong. All he had was the capacity for love, but not the ability to love. World of difference between capacity and ability, isn't it? He had the capacity for reason, but not the ability to reason. He had the capacity to know the truth, but not the ability to know the truth. He had the capacity to love, but not the ability to love. He had the capacity to know right and wrong, but not the ability to do right. You see? He was dead. Adam's spirit, the image of God, was just like a glove waiting to be filled with a life-giving hand. Now, a glove is useless without a hand, isn't it? It can't do anything good. It can't do anything bad. It can't make a fist. It can't make a friendly handshake. A glove is useless. And the Bible says God put inside Adam the breath of life. I ought to put a fourth thing here if you want to about the image of God, and that's conscience. Conscience. Now, I hesitate to do that because I'm not really convinced myself that conscience may be a byproduct of man's failure. But we'll put it there just for some theologians think that's a part of the image of God. Okay. Do you have a question you'd like to ask me at this point? Maybe I'll just go on and it'll all fall in place. So, the human spirit, the image of God, Adam was created with all this potential. He's like a light bulb that hadn't been turned on, that doesn't have the juice. He's like a lamp that hasn't been lit. Now, I have an idea that when God created Adam, He created him biologically, and I think God probably did this all at once. But if God had not put the breath of life in Adam, he would have been a highly intelligent animal, is what he would have done. He would have had a human spirit that was absolutely useless. All that spirit would have done is frustrate him. Because Adam would have thought about right and wrong all his life and never been able to do it. He would have thought about loving all his life and never been able to pull it off. He would have thought about truth all his life and never known what truth was. Just like 99% of the people in the world today. But God put the breath of life inside Adam. Now I want to ask you a second question. We ask, what is man? Now what is the breath of life? What is the breath of life? What did God put in Adam? Any of you have any thoughts on that? Shall we do a little deductive reasoning? When there was nothing at all, there was what? God. When there was nothing, there was God. Now we know that God is life, don't we? When there was no life at all, there was God, and God is life. He's the source of all life. Do you agree with that? All right. We also know that God is a spirit, don't we? We know that God is a spirit. So God is spiritual life, isn't he? So what did God put inside Adam? The Holy Spirit. He put himself inside Adam. You buy that? God put the Holy Spirit inside Adam. Now notice, Adam was dead spiritually before the breath of life came into him. But when the breath of life came into him, Adam came alive. He got turned on. And he became aware. Now notice, when the Holy Spirit came inside Adam's spirit, it was like a hand fitting the glove perfectly. Man was made for God. Ian Thomas says it this way, it takes God in you to make you a man. It takes God to be a man. Remember a while ago we said, what is man? We defined it. A creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. God put his life in Adam. God's life was the hand. Adam's life, Adam's spirit was the glove. Now, I want to show you a couple of fantastic truths tonight. You say, what in the world has this got to do with me? Everything. Everything to do with you. You see, before God came to indwell Adam, all Adam had was capacity. A glove has the capacity to make a fist, to make a handshake, to do creative things, to do work. But it doesn't have the ability until a hand indwells it. Now, all God ever created man to do was to be a recipient of the divine life. Adam was not created to work for God. Adam was not created to serve God. We've got some hymns in our Christian life called Serve the Lord with Gladness, Give of Your Best to the Master. I want to tell you something. The devil wrote those hymns. At least he inspired them. Now, God didn't ask Adam to work for him. God says, Adam, I want to work through you. You be the glove and let me be the hand. Adam, the only thing I want for you is to be available. Adam, I want you to understand something. You can't do anything for me. Because without me, you're what? Dead. I am life. You don't have any life, Adam. You can be alive biologically. Adam, you may be very alive intellectually, very alive emotionally, very alive intellectually, but you're dead in your spiritual life. And that's what makes you a man. If you don't have me in you, you're only an animal. You see that? Now let me tell you something. We have got hundreds of people running around who are very much alive physically. Man, they go to health food stores and eat health foods and they work out all the time. Just physically, very much alive. We've got people that are very alive intellectually. They get PhD degrees in physics and philosophy and everything else. Very bright, intellectual. Got people that are very alive emotionally. They fill their lives with all kinds of feelings. You know? Everything from sex to drugs, every kind of stimulation imaginable. They look for some kind of a high from one thing to another. Got people very alive, volitionally. They're making choices every day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But dead in their spirit. That's why they live like animals. Did you know this is what an animal lives for? An animal lives on this level right here. Did you know we got churches full of people that are very alive intellectually, and they're soulish Christians, not spiritual Christians. They think the whole Christian life is to come to a Christian life class and learn a bunch of doctrine. No. Some of the meanest people I know are Bible scholars who just study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible. Boy, they're really alive intellectually, but they're soulish. They're dead in their spirit. Do you know any Christians that just live off of feelings? They live in their soul all the time, and all they talk about, oh, if I could just get a new feeling, if I could just speak in tongues, if I could just go to another revival crusade or another deeper life conference and get me another experience, walk down an aisle, and they go to retreats, and they're always seeking an experience, always seeking a new feeling. And all they live on is feeling. That's soulish. They're dead in their spirit. We've got Christian people that live in their volition. Man, they're always making some kind of choice, looking for a new will of God. Something new to do for God today. Oh, today I'm going to choose to go visit the sick. Today I'm going to choose to read my Bible. And they give themselves, they live in their belief. Soulish. Soulish. Dead in their spirit. That's the way animals live. Now, Adam was a dead man. He wasn't even a man until God came in him. So the point is this. You are not the creature God created you to be until the Holy Spirit of God is living through your life. You're less than what God created you to be. You were made for the Holy Spirit to control your life. Did you know that? You were made. And that's why we've got a lot of defeated Christians. They don't really understand that they were made for the Holy Spirit. We think the Holy Spirit's an extra to the Christian life. He is life. You don't have any spiritual life without the Holy Spirit. Only God has spiritual life. Man does not have spiritual life. He's a recipient of it. So now I want to give you a sentence. And I want you to remember this. This is the basis of everything this course is built on. The basic premise is this. How can I say this in a way that you'll remember? The Christian life begins when we understand. The Christian life begins when we understand our total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. The Christian life begins when I understand my total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. You know what that means? God did not create Adam to work for him, to live for him, to do good works for him, to keep the Ten Commandments for him, to love his neighbor for him. Adam could do nothing for God except be available. You see that? God did not create Adam to live for God. God created Adam so God could live for Adam. So that God could live through Adam. Adam was the recipient of spiritual life, and Adam was totally unavailable to do anything for God. Totally unavailable. I mean, unable. Because all he had was capacity, not ability. Now let me show you something. When God's life came into Adam, Adam got ability for morality. Who is right? Who is just? Who is the author of all ethics? God. God is just, isn't he? God is right. God is righteous. So God would do the ethic just by being his normal self in Adam. It's not abnormal for God to be right. It's not abnormal for God to do what's right. It's his normal. Now, Adam's best would be less than God's normal. Isn't that right?
Adam in his own strength go around trying to do right so he wouldn't do wrong. He tries his best not to do wrong. Listen, Adam at his best is not as good as God at his normal. God is right. Secondly, man's best attempts at loving don't even live up to God's normal. What is God? God is love. So God put himself inside Adam. It's normal for God to love. Man at his best doesn't even come to God's normal where loving is concerned. God is truth, isn't he? God is true. So God put himself inside Adam. And Adam can search for truth all his life. And man's best attempts to find the truth is just God at his normal. So what is the Christian life? It's God living his normal life inside a creature whom he created as a vessel to receive his life. Oh boy, that's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? And Adam was created just to receive. And I want you to understand this. You'll never understand who you are and what you were created to be till you understand your total inability to do anything for yourself in the spiritual realm. It took me 15 years as a Christian to learn that. I thought a Christian was somebody who tried harder, worked for Avis, you know. We try harder. And I try to preach harder and pray harder and study my Bible harder. And all I did was just keep failing. I didn't live like how God wanted me to live. I didn't love like God wanted me to love. And I didn't do the truth like God wanted me to do the truth. And then I made the wonderful discovery that everything I was trying to do, God was in me. I was trying to be God. That's what I was doing. I wasn't willing to be a glove and let God be the hand. I thought I was the hand and the glove at the same time. All right. So, the breath of life is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the moment the breath of life came into Adam, he became a living spirit. Can you imagine what a thrill that was to Adam? Adam and Eve, boy, I'm telling you, and God came and dwelled Adam. Adam became aware of who he was and what he was. Now, we've got a few minutes. Let me just draw a couple other conclusions here. He became a living spirit and dwelled with the life of God. Now, I want to draw you an illustration here. May I erase what's on the board? Were we clear there? Okay. Do you remember the story in the Garden of Eden of two trees? The tree of what? There were two trees. Can somebody tell me what they were? Tree of life. You think that's just a little old parable stuck there? Man, I want to tell you something. That's as literally true as you're literally true. In the garden of God, God put a tree. That's a tree, folks. And that's a tree of life right there. And then over here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, Adam didn't know there was such a thing as evil. He didn't know there was such a thing as wrong. All he knew was right. Right, because he knew God. God was right. See? He didn't know there was such a thing as sin, because all he knew was the Savior. See? He didn't know anything about that. Now notice, here's the tree of knowledge. And right here in the middle is Adam. Big old capital letter A, that's Adam. Now Adam has a nature that is morally neutral. He can choose. You see? He can choose God, or he can choose to disobey. Now here's something that's interesting. What was the tree of life put there for? I think the tree of life was there as a reminder. Every time Adam saw the tree of life, it was to remind Adam, Adam, the best thing about you is me, living in you. Adam, I am your life. Without me, you're dead, baby. I want you to remember that. Adam, you're the glove and I'm the hand. And every time you look at that tree, I just want to remind you, only God has spiritual life. Adam, you don't have spiritual life. Without me, you're just an animal. But Adam, I am in you, and that's why you're alive. That's why you're a man. That's why you're special. So Adam, the best thing about you is me living in you. And every time Adam saw the tree of life, you know what he did? He said, praise the Lord. He said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, that I am a son and you're the Father. Thank you for living in me, God. I can do nothing for myself in the spiritual realm except let you love me and be available to your Holy Spirit. I'll be the glove and you be the hand. Do what you want to with my life. You see, the tree of life was to teach Adam to depend upon God. It's the tree of dependence, isn't it? Just like a glove is totally dependent upon a hand for its usefulness, Adam was totally dependent upon God for his life. And dependence is just another word for faith. Told you we'd get around the book of Romans, didn't I? Why did Paul go to so much trouble to say, the just shall live by faith? How was Adam created to live? Say it. Faith. Man was created to depend upon God for his life. Faith isn't something God invented a couple of hundred years ago when Jesus came into the world. When he made man, man was made for faith. You're made for faith the way a baby's made for milk. It is your life. We were created to depend upon God. And isn't this something? Do you know that many of us have been saved for years and years and we've never learned to live by faith? And that's why we have so many problems. I would venture to say faith is the most neglected doctrine in the church today, second only to the doctrine of prayer. And prayer and faith go hand in hand. We're going to talk about how to pray in this class. How to pray in faith, believing, claiming all that God has for you. Adam was created to depend upon God for his life. I believe Adam woke up every morning, and here's what he did. He turned on every day. He rushed up on the Holy Spirit, just like this. He got high on God. He says, Father, I'm a dead man without you. I'm not even a man. But Lord, you're in me, and I'm in you. And I just praise you for your life within me, God. I'm available. You can live through me. You can love through me. You can do right through me. I'm yours. And then Adam just walked in the light as he is in the light. And Adam lived exactly like Jesus. That's the last thing I want to say to you today. If Adam had never sinned, he would have lived exactly like Jesus Christ. Adam was the first son of God. He was son of God, wasn't he? Sure he was. He was a perfect man, wasn't he? Now, who was Jesus Christ? Son of God. Was he a perfect man? Sure was. Now, if Adam had never sinned, he would have lived just like Jesus lived. Adam knew everything about God as a man that Jesus knew about God as a man. Jesus knew God was the Father, didn't he? Now, the whole world didn't know that till Jesus came back again. The world didn't know God was the Father. Jesus had to tell us that. But Adam knew it. He had a father-son relationship with God. He knew everything about God as a man that Jesus Christ knew about God as a man. He had intimate fellowship with God. Adam didn't have to wake up and say, I wonder if there's a God. I wonder who created this big old place. Oh, he knew God. He knew his name. He talked to him. He prayed with him. He walked with him. You see, if Adam had never sinned, he never would have died physically. No such thing as physical death. Adam never would have died physically because he was alive spiritually. You see? Death was not a part of God's plan. Disease, decay, God never intended that. Of course, the question comes up, well, how many people would there be on this planet today? Well, I don't think that's our worry. God also knew that Adam was going to sin. You see? But it wasn't his perfect will. And there will be no death in the kingdom when Jesus comes. Isn't that right? Oh, when Jesus comes, we're going right back to the Garden of Eden, going to get it all straightened out. But now listen, he wouldn't have died physically. He wouldn't have died spiritually. He'd have never known right from wrong. All he'd have known was God. And fellowship with God. Boy, I'm telling you, Adam really blew it when he blew it, didn't he? He really messed it up. But you see, he was created for faith. But now listen, there's another tree in the garden. What is that other tree? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to call this the tree of independence, okay? God did not create you or me or Adam to be robots. What he wanted was Adam to freely choose to be a man and not an animal. Now, for Adam to choose to be a man, he had to choose to live by faith, didn't he? He had to choose to be a glove available to the hand. But God didn't want to force Adam to do that. He wanted Adam to willingly serve him, willingly be available. So he gives him choice. And here's the tree of independence. It's the tree of do your own thing. You got that? It's the tree of do your own thing. Here's what God said to Adam. Adam, you don't have to be a man. You don't have to be available to me and let my life live through you. You don't have to. You can go your own way. You can try with your capacity to do what I do in my ability. And Satan came, and he tempted man with independence. And we're going to talk in our lecture next class period what happened when Adam sinned. What it did to Adam, what it did to you. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, every problem you have in living the Christ life can be traced back to Adam's fall and what he did to you. You were tragically affected by Adam's sin. And we will look at this next week in Adam and You, what Adam's fall did to us. Because Adam was faced with this choice, and something happened to him when he sinned. He refused to live by faith, and he stepped out in independence, and what happened to him when he did.